On Wednesday, March 3, 2010, Janice S., having come to Abilene, Texas for the Principles and Promises retreat at Looters, Texas, shared with the Wednesday morning meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. She has asked that share be included with the CDs from the Principles and Promises retreat. This is that recording.
Wow. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Y'all all look so pretty.
Me too.
Thank you. You know, it's our weakness, not our strength, that binds us, as our invitation to you says. So I'm feeling kind of weak right now. I'm in a strange place, and I feel like a popsicle. I'm further north right now than I live. I come to you from Houma, Louisiana, which is down by the Gulf of Mexico. So my name is Janice. I am a compulsive overeater, and I know that. I know that I am a compulsive overeater, and the way I know that is from my history, but also what I've learned in Overeaters Anonymous. And so there's no doubt in my mind that I am a compulsive overeater. And I also know that there is a solution. And what I learned about a solution is what I have learned in Overeaters Anonymous and through the Alcoholics Anonymous literature and stuff. I came into OA April the 4th of 1978, which is going to be 32 years this coming April the 4th. And it's Easter Sunday this year, and that makes me real happy. I'm going to just rise again, you know. Every day I just rise. I just rise. I rise up in the morning to thank God that another day has been given to me to be able to know God better and to be able to try to transmit that to others. I left yesterday morning. I got up at 4:30 yesterday morning to drive to New Orleans. I live about 60 miles from the New Orleans airport. And I'm telling you, the wind chill factor was so cold. I was just like freezing. And I thought that shuttle was never going to come pick me up. You know, usually they're right there and you don't have time to lock your door or do anything. Oh, and as I remember, I forgot to put the sun visor. And I'd have had time. I'm sorry, I touched you. Is that okay? I'll come touch one. My husband says I like almost beat him to death when I have to move. Some people don't like to be touched, but I'm a toucher. Okay, let's see. I forgot to put the sun, and I forgot what I want to say now because I thought about something I forgot. I had a real uneventful trip. You know, everything was just real cool and everything. And Wanda met me. She was there closer than I thought she was going to be. And when I saw her, she was so beautiful, just, you know, standing there. And I just ran to her because we haven't seen each other since May, which is a little over 9 months. I thought, you know, somebody could have a baby in that time. 9 months.
Not me.
Not me either. I finished with that a long time ago. But anyway, I am a country girl, and Wanda lives out in the country, you know, so it feels really nice to be in that wide open space, because today we live in a subdivision where, you know, my neighbor's here, my neighbor's there, neighbor there, neighbor there. But it's okay because we have a nice, sweet little home, and I'm grateful for that. I was born in Gonzales, Louisiana, which is about 75 miles from, you know where that is? I love it when people start doing that when they recognize. I was born on August the 7th of 1939, so that makes me 70 years young. And I'm very grateful for the health that I have, because one of the things that I know is that I want to tell something about you, but I don't know if you want me to.
Just go right back in.
Okay. Juan and I are almost twins. She was born April the 3rd of 19...
September.
What did I say? September the 3rd. So we're only 3 weeks apart in age. Isn't that a good thing? And my husband and her have the same birthday. September the 3rd. So it's always those connections, you know. So anyway, I was born the fifth child of six. My mother and father had two sons, and then they had a daughter. Her name was Ruby Nell. And when Ruby Nell was 7 months old, she died. She had developed a whooping cough, and it went into pneumonia. And Wanda and I was talking yesterday about, in those days, you know, they just didn't have the antibiotic or the doctors or whatever. So anyway, my mother, it really affected her, and she, they say she had a cerebral hemorrhage or something, but some people die when they have that, but they put her in a home for like a nervous breakdown or something. And so for a year after that child died, that, you know, that's where my mother was. And I learned about this later in life. It was never something that my mother really talked about. And when my father had these two boys, 4 and 2, and so he had to have somebody taking care of these kids. And so that's when he kind of started running wild, you know, going to the bars and going out with other women and stuff. And so, but I heard one of my aunts tell me that my daddy used to sit at his mother's back steps and just cry. I don't know a lot about my daddy. So that's why I'm telling you things that I've heard about my daddy. And he, when my mother got back, my dad built this house on this property where I was born and I lived. And it was just like a little shotgun house. I don't know if people know what that is. And later on, he added rooms and everything. But my mother got pregnant, got pregnant again. And she had a girl, and her name was Peggy Ann, okay? And when Peggy Ann was 2.5 years old, I was born. So we're 2.5 years apart. And Peggy Ann was my playmate, and I barely remember some things about her, even though I was so very young. But when I was 2.5, Peggy Ann got the measles and the pneumonia, and she died. So I was still nursing at that time, I was told. And so you can imagine the grief that my mother was in, the depression and the grief that she was in. And I was abruptly taken off of the breast. And so I know that that was a traumatic time in my life as well. Because when I came, it was in the dead of winter. And all we had was a wooden stove and a wooden fireplace. We didn't, you know, have the heat. And so when I came home, I didn't have the breast. I didn't have my little sister. I didn't have my daddy, because he was not there. And my mother was in serious grief and depression and stuff like that. And so, you know, I visualize these things now because I was so young, but I can imagine for a little 2.5 how, you know, that was. And I have two granddaughters. My oldest granddaughter is 28, and my youngest granddaughter is 5. And I kind of paid attention to them when, you know, they were at the ages that I was. And so that's how I learned a little bit about possibly what it may have been for me, you know. I am married to the same man for 53.5 years. He's a delight, and I do have a lot of pictures of, I'm going to display at the retreat this weekend. But we have 3 children, 2 boys and a girl, and now we have 6 grandkids. The granddaughters are on each side, and we have 4 boys in the middle. So I have a really, really full, enjoyable, happy life, okay? But I also have the disease of compulsive overeating. And I'm not cured of compulsive overeating, and I know that. But I have found a powerful, powerful solution, and all of you are part of that solution for me, okay? It's all of you that are saying that you believe in this program, you believe in this solution, you believe in the fellowship. And so we gather together once, 2 or 3 every day maybe, and we come together and we talk about this and we share about these things. But on my trip on the way up here, I had brought I have a little AA 12 and 12. It's like a pocket size. When I first came into OA was only 7 months old in Houma, Louisiana. 7 months. So they didn't know a lot about what was going on, and I definitely didn't know. I didn't know where I was going. I just know that I was desperate to want to try to lose weight because I come from doing diet pills for 15 years. So, I mean, that is a serious illness in itself right there. And 6 years before I found OA, I had stopped the diet pills because they were driving me crazy. I mean, crazy, crazy. I mean, I'm a self-mutilator. I was mutilating on myself. I was just really, really sick. I should have been locked up. I really should. And then when I went through my psychic change and everything, my husband thought I should have been locked up because I tell you, I was so angry. So angry. That anger was just so severe. It was so severe. But we got through all of that. We got through all of that. But let me see. I want to back up there. But anyway, I found a diet after I quit taking the diet pills. I found a diet that worked for me. And I lost a lot of weight without diet pills. I could not believe that. Okay? I did. I did lose it. But, you know, diets fail. Diets fail. And it got to the point, and the diet I was on at that time was very low carbohydrate. It was no sugar, you know, no flour, none of that. And I lost weight. But guess what? The minute I started putting those kinds of foods back into my body, guess what? I gained 50 pounds in 2 weeks, 2 years. I did. And it was just like I felt that incomprehensible demoralization that the big book talks about, and it was just like I just could not have sugar. I could not, you know, could not. And but the I remember the first time I put that sugar in my body after that diet, that it didn't taste good. But you know what? It doesn't take long to start tasting really good again, especially to this body of a compulsive overeater. And so anyway, when I came into OA on this Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Houma, that OA was only 7 months old, and this woman started talking about how she had lost a lot of weight about the 7 months, you know. And she was telling me how much she could eat. She was eating and everything. She said, man, I could eat a piece of sausage this long. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm going to see what this is all about. So at that time, they gave us a food plan. It was Gray Sheet is what I originally came in on, okay? And I lost a lot of weight. I lost 12 pounds the first month, 5 pounds the second month, 35 pounds in 9 months. I mean, wow, without diet pills, wow. My top weight was in the area of 170, but it was escalating. It was continuing to go higher and higher. And also, I know that this disease and the second, I believe that compulsive overeating is the primary disease. And the secondary diseases are the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the hypertension, all of these diseases that compulsive overeating and food causes. And I love how Overeaters Anonymous book, because it describes that. It describes that in the disease of the body, the disease of the mind, and the disease of the spirit. I just love it. And this is the second edition. I don't know if any of y'all have that book, but it is very valuable. It is very valuable because it gives us information about our disease, the disease of compulsive overeating, and that's very beneficial to me. I was so happy when they came out with the second edition, and they kept that information in there. I was on the board of trustees at that time. I'm in Region 8, and I was so happy. I just pushed and pushed for them to keep that in there. I remember when I first came into OA, they kept telling us, they're coming out with our own book, like the big book. Couldn't wait. I was so disappointed. Because what they came out with was just the stories. The big book stayed the same. You know, the information of our big book stayed the same. So anyway, I was disappointed about that, but I had already started learning about the big book and, you know, doing my work through the big book. So I was okay with that. So don't wait for something to come out. Just jump in there and use what we have right now. I mean, that's my information about that. when I was reading in the AA 12 and 12, I was reading in the tradition, just kind of like thumbing through it. But I also looked at step 11, and they have the prayer of St. Francis in there. And he prayed to be a channel. And, you know, that's what I prayed, to be a channel. And in the, I think it was the second tradition, it said that we are spiritual channels. And so that's what I'm here for this weekend and every day of my life, is to continue to be a spiritual channel. I'm here to share my experience, my strength, and my hope along the lines of the spiritual growth that I have achieved. My mom and my daddy were separated. I never knew what it was for my mom and daddy to live together. And so as a result of that, I had a lot of trouble with abandonment and insecurity. And that has really been healed a lot inside of me. The other thing is, I had a lot of trouble with trusting. And I felt like I didn't trust men. But a psychologist told me that I didn't trust women as much. And so that I had to learn how to start trusting men, trusting women, okay? Because women will fail you just as much as men will, believe me, I know. And don't think that people in the program won't fail you also. They will, because I've been failed many times with people that I thought I was really, really close to in the program. I got a phone call last Wednesday from this lady that lives in Massachusetts. She used to, in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and she used to live in Houma. And she started OA in Houma. And, you know, I wasn't her sponsor, but we were very close. We were close. And when she moved up to Williamstown, Massachusetts, she arranged it for me to be able to come up there and do a retreat. And she was so kind and everything. She also gave Jimmy a ticket to come with me. And so we were able to go up there, and she allowed us to stay in her home and stuff like that. We were very close in that kind of way. And when she moved from Houma, she gave us a bedroom set. You know, so I had that in my home, looking at that every day and thinking about her that way. And she was the one that introduced me to the Wilson House. Y'all familiar with that in East Dorset, Vermont, where Bill Wilson was born? Well, Jimmy and I are alumni of that place. And so I've been up there four times, and Jimmy's been up there twice. But this woman was the one that introduced us to that and brought us up there for the very first time. And also, they were still in the process of renovating that place. But anyway, we signed the register and everything, and they said, you know, we have volunteer help that comes up here and stuff like that. And in the back of my mind, that was planted, that I wanted to go up there one day and do that, okay? And, you know, when you have your heart's desire, and, you know, it's God's will, and it is going to happen to you. And the World Service Business Convention was in New York one year, and Jimmy was coming with me, and I told him, I said, Jimmy, I would love to be able to go up to the Wilson House, you know, blah, blah. Would you like to come with me? And he said, yeah, I think I would, you know. And so anyway, we arranged, and you had to fill out an application to see, you know, if you qualified or whatever. And that would probably be about 3 or 4 weeks before they would let you know. And about a week later, we got the okay. And this guy, Dean, he's dead now, but he said, That was the best application we ever got, you know. But you know why? By that time, I knew who and what I was. And I knew what I was capable of. And I knew Jimmy had great work ethics, you know, and he had worked a long time. He worked 36 years in the oil field, and so he had good work ethics. And so anyway, they accepted us. Not an alcoholic. Jimmy's not an alcoholic, but they accepted us. And so that's how that came about. Well, 10 years ago, Jimmy and I had gone, and this woman, we had one day a week off, and I got in touch with her and asked her if she'd come get us so we could visit with her. And she came, got us, and we visited, spent the night in her home, brought us back the next day. Never heard from her again. And I called several times and never heard from her again. Well, Wednesday, I get this phone call. Janice, this is a voice from your past. Okay. This is, you know, so-and-so. And she said, I've come back to the program. She said, I know the last time I saw you, she said, you kept calling me and I wouldn't answer you because I didn't want to hear a thing about that damn program. And that's why people leave, because they don't want to hear the program. And I mean, I'm a walking, talking program. You know, and don't come whining to me. Don't come whining to me if you're not willing to do something about it. You know, I don't have time for that, because there is a solution and there is one that works. But you have to work it. You have to want it, and you have to work it. By the time my mother and father were divorced, and when I was a little over 3 years old, my father was still visiting my mother because they were still legally married, you know. And I questioned her about this. She got pregnant. And she got pregnant for my youngest brother, who is 4 years younger than me. And I said, Mama, how could you have sex with him? She said, well, we were still married, you know. So anyway, that they were. And when I was 7 years old, they finally got a divorce. And I think my father was already living with this other woman. And my mother hated this woman, okay. And she called her ugly names all my life, you know. And so I had to listen to that. I listened to how angry she was at my dad and how angry she was at this woman. And I wasn't allowed to be with my daddy. And, you know, and when I, like when they had a fair or something in town and I would see my daddy, you know, he would buy me tickets for the rides. I mean, who wouldn't like that, a little child, you know? And then I was so ashamed to come home and tell my mom, you know, that I saw my daddy and, you know, he gave me this money and stuff like that. So I felt a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. And I felt like I couldn't talk about my daddy. I couldn't talk about anything like that because it would upset my mom. Who wants to upset their mama? You know, not me. Not me. I didn't want to. But anyway, another thing is that my mama told me often because... She told me, she said, you'll never amount to nothing. And the reason why she told me that a lot was because I probably didn't sweep the floor the way she wanted. I didn't wash the dishes the way she wanted. I didn't make the bed the way she wanted. It was that kind of things. But when you hear that often enough or long enough, it starts, well, you know, there must be something wrong. There must be something wrong. And then when I got married, I met the man I'm married to now when I was 14 and a half years old. And he was 21, and we are making it. We really are. And he it's really been a godsend to me because he couldn't help me with what's wrong with me. You know, he couldn't be y'all to me. He could be a husband. But I came into that marriage like a little child because I was 17 when I married him. He was a wonderful boyfriend. He never violated me in any kind of way. He never pushed on me to have sex with him or anything. He respected me. And his mother taught him that. And I appreciated that. And he said that he knew that he wanted me to be his virgin bride when we got married. And that's the way it was. But I also kept feeling like he was pushing on me to get married, you know? Because, I mean, we had dated 2.5 years. And I was a junior out of high school, a junior when we got married. And I went to school at Terrebonne High School in Houma, a married woman. And I was able to get my high school diploma. But I felt like I was a little girl and I had to ask his permission to do things, okay? But, you know, I grew up. But I only grew up in Overeaters Anonymous. And I started being the mature adult that I needed to be. Psychologically, I grew up. Mentally, I grew up. In all ways, I grew up. And I'm grateful for that. And all of y'all have taught me to do that. And it's through the literature and stuff that I've learned. I wet the bed till I was 10 years old. And I slept in a baby bed. Because my mama thought that was the easiest way to clean up this mess, you know. So that really, really put me in a confined area. And I had a very, very hard time claiming my space. because I always thought I was in somebody's way. You know, I was too far over here, was too far up here. But OA taught me that the whole world is my space. It really is. And that I can roam and do what I need to do. And I used to, when I first started going into OA service out of town, I did OA service in home when I was in the program 6 weeks. I became a secretary of a group. So I've been like raised up on service. And the people I sponsor are raised up on service. You know, you've got to do service. And so anyway, when I started going out of town, that was a different story. That was a really different story. Because Jimmy, his insecurities started kicking in, okay? I really recognized his not trusting, okay? But I had already learned how trustworthy I am and how monogamous I am. He thought I was running around. He thought I was going to meet somebody, you know, all of that. But he had to grow up also. He had to start learning that it was his insecurity and his not trusting that he had to work on. He never had a program, but I tell you, I stood in his face many a time. I did. One day, he came in. I was laying across the bed in our room, and he came. And he said, "You know what? I think if you had to choose between OA and me, you would choose OA." I jumped out of that bed immediately. I got right in his face, and I said, "I want to tell you one thing. I don't have to choose, because OA is God to me, and I choose God." And he never mentioned another word about it to me. And I was in the program about 8 years before I was even ready for him to grace the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, because it was my place. It was my place. And I didn't want anybody to interfere with it, and I didn't want him to ask me all kind of questions about what was being said and everything, because it was none of his business. And I didn't feel like I had the energy or the courage or the anonymity thing to break that, you know. So anyway, one day I was asked to speak in Jennings, Louisiana, which is about 3 miles from Houma. And he worked in the Lake Arthur area and everything. Some people know where all of that is. I know Wanda does, because we talked about it last night. But they were going to put me up in a hotel. And I said, "Would you like to ride with me there? We could be in the hotel that night, and I'm going to do the workshop the next day." And he said, "Oh, yeah, and we could go visit the friends that you worked with in the off-field." And said, "Yeah, I would like that a lot." I told Wanda, that was one of the loneliest nights of my life, because nobody greeted us at the hotel. Nobody greeted us in that town to take us out to dinner. I don't know what I thought. I mean, I think I should have been special, you know, that they would have been there. But it felt like abandonment. And it doesn't take much to cause me to feel abandoned. It doesn't. I'm a lot better at it today. But, I mean, you know, we're talking, this is like almost 20 years ago, you know. But anyway, Jimmy stayed in that room and with me, and we didn't have sex. I was not in a mood for that night. I mean, I was here to do this, something like this, you know. But anyway, Jimmy, when I get ready to speak, I have an energy around me. It's just like that spirit comes on me, and I just can't keep still. I guess you could tell. But anyway, he felt that energy around me, okay? But he also sensed what other people were saying, heard what other people were saying, and he realized what Overeaters Anonymous was truly all about. That people needed this, I needed this, I needed to do what I do, you know. And when we left that day, he told me, he said, "Janice, I'll never stop in standing your way ever again," he said, "because I know that God is using you, and that this is your purpose, this is what you're supposed to do, and I'm going to be helping you pack your suitcase from now on." Because I want to tell you, I never knew what I was going to be coming home to when I went off like that. I never knew if he was going to be breaking down the car door to get at me, you know, or I didn't know whether he was going to be under the covers all depressed, you know, and all that. I never knew what I was coming home to. But things changed after that. Things changed. But let me tell you, I had to get this for my own personal self. I had to have this. And he knows that. And another thing, Jimmy and I were always just like this together, everywhere. And when Jimmy started going to family reunions and different places like that, and Janice wasn't there, he had to start explaining to them where Janice was, okay? And he did a really good job. he kept saying, she's on this trip for Overeaters Anonymous. It's a 12-step program patterned after Alcoholics Anonymous. And Janice has got to have this thing. He'd tell people that. And so they finally started understanding. And when they'd see me the next time, or, you know, and Jimmy had seen them or something, they'd say, you've been on another trip. they call all of this another trip. I just could go on and on, but y'all just come to the retreat. I'll probably repeat some of this again because some people won't be there. But also, I want to have courtesy to you people to share a little bit or maybe ask me some questions. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
All questions and some of the responses have been deleted. Janice was asked about the effect of Hurricane Katrina.
Katrina? Not a lot, us personally, okay? But we were more affected by Gustav, which came, last year. Not this year, but last year, 2008. Katrina was... really, really bad. And my husband and I stayed home. And I had people all over OA calling me. And my phone never went down. And I was on the phone just about with somebody in OA the whole time, you know. And I don't know, I just felt safe. I just felt like, because it's not easy to leave when you can't come back, you know. But anyway, God protected us, and thank God, a little bit of our roof came off, and we got a new roof, and so that's good. But so many phone lines were down, and I had Florida and me, we had a connection, and so this person that I was continuing to talk to kept informing everybody that I was okay, you know, and my internet was down for about 2 weeks, and stuff like that. But Gustav, we had to leave because they kept talking about how it was going to flood. Because, you know, we're losing all of our, I can't think of what you call it right now. Yeah, we're losing all of the coast and everything. And they're getting more and more afraid that Houma's going to flood, you know. And so they really were talking about how it was going to flood. So we left. We left and went to my brother's house in Gonzales, which is only 75 miles away. We'd have been away from the water, but the wind was terrible over there because it went all up Baton Rouge and everything. And so anyway, we couldn't get home for 5 days. And that's hard. That is hard. But it was so funny. My oldest son works with an electrical power company, you know. And when we got home on the Friday, the storm came through on Monday. We had left the Sunday. Came home on Friday. The electricity was still off and everything, and my son works for the power company, and they had some talk going on in the neighborhood. He's not a manager, okay, but said one of the managers of Sleekers, older mother lives in this neighborhood, and we're going to get power back tonight. My youngest son lives in my neighborhood, and he said, Mama, they must be talking about you. And yes, it did come on that Friday night about 11 o'clock, but that was so funny. That old mother lives in this neighborhood.
In response to another question, Janice shared the effect her disease has had on her now adult children.
I find that my youngest son probably is, but he still can diet it and take it off and everything. My oldest son smokes a lot. My daughter did smoke, and she quit, and not like me, because, you see, they weren't psychologically damaged like I was. You know, even though I had the disease and everything, I feel like I was a really good mother. I feel like I was, and they think so. It makes me cry. I'm gonna cry a lot this weekend, but that's okay. That's okay. My youngest daughter my only daughter is going to Al-Anon right now. And I love it. I don't love why she's going, because it's breaking my heart. At least making it very heavy. And she's talking to me about it. Because I had already given her a big book years and years ago. I had given her the Al-Anon ADAD book. I had given her that and all. And she was in such pain and everything. She says, I think I'm going to go to a psychologist, a therapist or something. I said, hey, you need to go to Al-Anon. And she went. I think she's been going over a month now. And so fun to hear her talk. I said, you can't tell me who was there now. I said, but you can tell me what y'all talked about. I mean, you know, the topic and stuff like that. And she tells me, you know, like, it was relationships, son. She goes on at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. And I'm really happy for her. I'm really happy. She might find out how angry she is as her mother one day. I don't know, but I'll be able to handle it. They're not affected the way I was. Because you see, the diet pills didn't help me any. I mean, that brought me down, down, down. That really did. Because I had to develop psychologically. I started taking them when I was 17. You know, my mother-in-law is the one that gave them to me. You know, because I had gained about 6 pounds after I got married. I mean, it just goes to show you how insane. You know? I know this is not a religious group, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but the minute I sat down, I saw that sign up there. He died to take away our sins, not our mind. You know? This took away my compulsive overeating. It didn't take away my mind. And I can still remember the things that, you know, happened to me. I still remember my behavior. You know, but I still, Mom, I have a good mind. And when you call me, I was cute as a bug or something like that. A girl I sponsored on, she calls me her study bug. You know, because I study a lot.
As the meeting concluded, the members were reminded to bring their big books to the Principles and Promises retreat.
Yeah, I have a lot to share about that, a lot. I mean, it's such a wonderful piece of material for our disease and recovery.